Okay, now, coming back to Romans, Romans chapter 15, we'll bring this lesson today from verse 15. I hope to get down through verse 21, but one of the things I like about a continuing study, if we don't get that far, we'll just come back and look at it again next week. Now, we're back where we left off at verse 15. Paul was a determined preacher of the gospel. He was a determined preacher of the gospel. And he certainly was not ashamed of the gospel, was not ashamed to preach the gospel. Everywhere he went, he had but one message. And that one message was all around. Remember, he said, "I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified." He was a determined preacher of the gospel, not ashamed to declare it. Remember in Romans 1, verse 16, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that is blessed to believe it." Now, verse 15, "Nevertheless, it is needful, brethren," now he's writing to these believers, brethren, the church family, "I've written boldly, the more boldly unto you in some sort, putting you in mind or making you mindful because of the grace of God given to me," because of the grace that is given to me, and this grace is of God. Now, there's no grace revealed in the Scripture but sovereign grace. This grace of God, it is of Him in its origin. It's an everlasting grace. It's a sovereign grace. It's calling grace. It's fetching grace. It's saving grace. But Paul says here, he was a writer of Holy Scripture. He was not only a preacher of the gospel, but he was one blessed of God and chosen of God to write Holy Scripture. Now, when we read Holy Scripture and these different epistles of Paul, we know that he's writing not just out of his whim and out of his mind and out of what he thinks, but he's writing according to the dictation of God the Holy Spirit, where he writes in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given of God, and it is good, and it is profitable." So Paul was blessed to be a writer of the Word of God. Aren't we blessed to have his epistles that God gave him to the Romans, Ephesians, Galatians, these different epistles that we have? What a blessing it's been to the church. But he said, "I write boldly because God has given me these words." And he did boldly write. And his writings and the Word of God, the Scriptures, what do? They put us in mind, don't they? The Word of God, when we read it, corrects our wrong thoughts. You know, by nature, left to ourselves, all of our thoughts of God are totally wrong. Our Lord said, "You thought I was altogether such as one as yourself." Left to ourselves, all of our thinking about God and the gospel is totally contrary to what's revealed in this book. That's why the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, writes boldly unto us to correct our thinking, to put you in mind. Now, it is good to have your thinking corrected, is it not? I don't want to trust my thoughts. I want to trust His Word. You see, through thy precepts, we get understanding, right? Therefore, you remember the rest of that verse? Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Being put in mind of the gospel of God makes us despise everything that's contrary to the gospel of God. Because, he said, here's the cause of this. The cause of this is the grace of God given unto me. Paul was chosen in that covenant of grace. He was made a preacher and an apostle by the grace of God. And as I said earlier, there is no grace but sovereign grace. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. As God the grace of God that comes from him has to reflect his character, like his mercy, sovereign grace. That's what he said, it's given to me of God. And all and every believer can harmonize with the Apostle Paul when he says, I am what I am by his grace. It's through the grace of God that we believe the gospel. Now, he writes about his ministry in verse 16. You see that? And I love this word, how it's used in Scripture, that. You see that? That. The grace of God is given to me, that I should be a minister, or the minister of Jesus Christ. Now, that word can also be rendered servant. Remember Romans 1:1, how this epistle begins? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a high, high title, is it not? To be a servant, a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord calls himself a minister, does he not? He said, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is also called, God says of him, he's my elect and he's my servant, my elect in whom my soul loveth. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ, a servant of Jesus Christ, serving his people. Now notice this, to the Gentiles. Now, the Jews of old, they didn't have any use. They didn't have any use for the Gentile people whatsoever. They considered that whole race nothing but a reprobate race, nothing but an infidel race, and for the most part, they were. God, thank God, he has his elect among the Gentiles. And to call them out, God raised up a special servant to specifically minister to those who are the elect of God among the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. Now, what do we minister? What do we preach? The gospel of God. What is the gospel of God all about? Well, I have to go back all the way to Romans 1, verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ the Lord, made of the seed of David, but declared to be the Son of God, according to the power of God, the Holy Spirit. You see what he's saying here? That I should be a minister, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable to God, being sanctified. They're not accepted or acceptable apart from being sanctified by God, the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul was a minister of Jesus Christ. Now, let's find the scripture here. Find 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He was a minister of Jesus Christ. Now, notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also had made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, talking about the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Paul did not preach the deeds of the law for salvation. Remember in Romans chapter 3, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. He was not a minister of the law. A minister of the law and those who would point you to the law for salvation, that's the ministry of, he calls it the ministry of death. We're not ministries and preaching the ministry of the law. We're preaching the ministry. We're pointing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is life. That I should be a minister of the gospel by the grace of God. You remember Paul's testimony? Let's turn over here to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and let's see if we can remind ourselves. And I'll put you in mind of what Paul says of his own self. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, according verse 11, according to the gospel, the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Some have rightly said this could be the blessed the blessed gospel of the glory of God, which was committed to my trust. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, caused injury, but I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. And the grace of God and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he said, I'm the chief one. So, we are what we are by God's grace. And Paul, his ministry, his conversion is nothing short of a miracle of God's grace. And that's true of every believer today. It's a miracle that you're here. It's a miracle if you're here and believe the gospel of the grace of God. There's not many people who do. The Apostle Paul was raised up to be an apostle to the Gentiles. You remember we read that? Turn back a couple pages. Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. So God raised this man up specially. We know he replaced Judas, right? He raised up the apostle Paul and sent him specifically to the elect of God in the Gentile world. We read in 2 Timothy 1, he says, 2 Timothy 1:11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, thank God we've benefited so much from the ministry of the apostle Paul. Now, we have from Peter and John and James, but these epistles of Paul, they are tailored to meet our very need and to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. When in Acts chapter 15, when Saul of Tarsus met the Lord, and the Lord said unto Ananias, remember, he said, go thy way. Ananias said, wait a minute, I've heard a lot about Saul of Tarsus. He's a fellow that's going around killing everybody that names the name of Christ. And you want me to go talk to him? You remember Acts chapter 9? But the Lord said to Ananias, go thy way. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He preached to the Jews too. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And this man, now, why did God send him? You know, he was blessed of God, chosen, had this special ministry. He was an apostle, this special man, a chosen vessel. And when you read his story through his ministry in the book of Acts, he was hated, he was hunted, he was hounded, he was beaten with rods, whipped, stoned, shipwrecked. He had so many trials. But the Lord, all through those trials, he said, my grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. I love what Paul says down in verse 19. He said, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem, round about Illyricum, I fully preached the gospel of Christ. He fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, what is it to fully preach the gospel of Christ? You can't preach the gospel without fully preaching the gospel of Christ. To fully preach the gospel of Christ is to set forth his person, who he is, and his redeeming work. That's fully preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he said, woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel. It is the gospel of God, that the power of God unto salvation. Turn just a couple pages. Remember 1 Corinthians talking about this gospel. This gospel, that's the power of God unto salvation. Look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. He said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now, the power of God. What does it take to raise a dead sinner from the grave of his spiritual deadness and make him a new creature in Christ? Well, just turn over a new leaf. It takes the power of God to raise a dead sinner. "You hath he quickened who were dead." It is the power of God. Look down at verse 22. This is 1 Corinthians 1:22. "For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews it's a stumbling block, unto the religious man, the self-righteous man, Christ crucified." He said, "I don't need a substitute to die for my sin. I can take care of the sin question myself. Unto the Greeks it's just mere foolishness, the wise man. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and Christ the wisdom of God." It is the power of God that causes us to believe the gospel. We only believe according to the working of His mighty power. Now look back at Romans 15:16, the last part of verse 16. "That," he said, "I'm a minister to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel, that the offering up," or the sacrificing up of the Gentiles, "might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit." That the sinner converted and made a new creature in Christ through the ministry of the word and the gospel being preached, might be accepted before God in the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's see if we can get some help on this. Let's find 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There is the necessity of that work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth and in regeneration. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through," there's that work of the sanctification, there, the sanctification of the Spirit, and the sanctification of the Spirit, the sanctifying work of the Spirit, leads us to believe the gospel, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only." It did come in word. Paul went everywhere preaching the gospel. "But also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Remember what our Lord said about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16? What is the chief office of God, the Holy Spirit? He said it's to take the things of Christ and to show them unto you. The chief office of God, the Holy Spirit, is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ within our heart. That's what we call the sanctification of the Spirit. God making us new creatures in Christ. And when that happens, we believe the gospel and we love, or we fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 17. "I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God." Now, Paul gets right back on his favorite subject. What is it? The glory of God. "I have therefore whereof I may glory," you see verse 17, "through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God." Now that word glory can be rendered, we rejoice, we boast in those things that pertain to the gospel of God. Now, if you look back at chapter 15, verse 6 and 7, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us unto the glory of God. It's no wonder that the gospel of God is called the gospel of His glory. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, every time when Paul describes the work of the triune God in the Father choosing us, it's to the praise of the glory of His grace. When he talks about the Son redeeming us, it's to the praise of the glory of His grace. And then when he talks about the sanctifying work and the sealing work, revealing work of God the Holy Spirit, he says it's all to the praise of the glory of His grace alone. And then we know that scripture that Paul uses in Galatians 6:14, God forbid I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have therefore whereof I may glory, but only through the Lord Jesus Christ in those things that pertain to God. Now, what are those things that pertain to God? Everything in regard to spiritual blessing that we have received in Christ. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that would glory, let him glory only in the Lord. Now, let's see if we can take a look at verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, worked in me, through me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word, and that's the preaching of the word, and in deed and in truth. Now, Paul was thankful for the ministry of others, other apostles. You remember John, Peter, and James, but he would not take credit for their ministry, nor would he say that I'm going to build upon their ministry. But he was quick to point out that he was indeed thankful for what God was pleased to do through his ministry. Through Paul's ministry, God wrought mighty miracles and grace through him, as it says in verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem unto Illyricum, I fully preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we'll close with this, but turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Our time is gone, but let's look at this right here about the ministry that Paul had and how God blessed his ministry. He said, I glory in those things that God wrought by me in the ministry. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is apostle, but ministers by whom you believed. Ministers by whom you believed. Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth anything, but it's God that gives the increase. You see what he's saying there? I only glory in those things that Christ wrought by me to make us obedient. Thy people shall be willing in the day of his power.